Welcome to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you tuning in to our speaker series. Joining me today is digital marketing expert Cynthia Johnson, and Cynthia is the Director of Marketing and Social Media at Rank Lab, and she has worked with all levels of business from small tech startups to corporations. She hosts a weekly Twitter chat where she discusses social media marketing and PR, and she's a marketing speaker and educator. Her presentation from PubCon 2014 in Las Vegas was listed as the number one on WordStream's blog, the four best presentations in PubCon 2014. And the reason I wanted to introduce Cynthia to all of you is that she's super knowledgeable in social media marketing for SEO, viral campaign strategy, branding, reputation management, and community building. Plus, she writes for Entrepreneur and Search Engine Journal. So welcome, Cynthia Johnson. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. That was a great intro. I really appreciate it.
And I could have gone on and on. You've done so many amazing things. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be a part of Miracle Business Breakthrough. So thank you again and again.
No, this is I think this is fantastic what you're doing. I'm happy to be a part of it. So
very cool. So I would love to just jump right in and have you take us on a little journey. So if you could take us back in time and think about some of your own business breakthroughs and part of your journey in business, what would some of those biggest breakthrough moments be for you?
Well, I think if we go back probably to the beginning, there was a point where I took like 6 months off, years ago, and traveled, and I traded social media with my basic knowledge at the time and certain like internet know-hows with people in exchange for free stay and free food and so on. And I learned early on that this is something very valuable and that the need for it will continue to grow, and that if I educated myself, there would be a place for me to help people, find their way and bring their businesses online so that, they don't fall behind. So I think that was probably my first, breakthrough, and I decided I wanted to do this. The second breakthrough was when I interviewed here at my current position. My boss now, he's an entrepreneur and a big, one of the number one SEOs, and he's built several businesses from the ground up, mostly web-based. And he said, well, what do you want to do with your future? And I said, well, I think I want to be a name in this industry so that I can influence as many people as possible and educate as many people as possible. And he said, if you take what you know about social media and learn SEO, you can be at the forefront of those two crossing. And he was absolutely right. So that was a big change in my career, as well as taking his advice and adding to the things that I thought I needed to know and kind of growing on those as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And I just wanted to go back to where you talked about taking 6 months off and traveling and basically bartering your way through your travels. It's amazing that you did that. Can you tell us a little bit more? Because I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are curious. Where all did you travel, and what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was great. I started in New Zealand. I went from North Island to the South and back up. And then I flew into Australia, and we drove from Melbourne to Cairns, and then flew to Perth, and then I did Bali, Singapore, Thailand, Cambodia, and China.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like quite the adventure.
Go ahead. Oh no, please.
Oh, so I was going to ask, was that when you talked about providing social media for free food and accommodations and all that, how did you go about finding the people, the businesses that would be willing to provide what you needed in trade for social media services?
Well, what happened is the very first hostel that I stayed at in New Zealand, the woman who ran the hostel, she had all of these great things about the hostel that weren't mentioned online, because she didn't actually create her profile. It was done through a TripAdvisor, and So the images were just images that people had taken, and the information was very limited. And so I was having a conversation with her, and I said, well, why don't you have this? Like, where can people find out about what, you know, you're offering, because this is amazing. And we ended up actually, when we came back, staying with her again because it was so great. So I helped her set up her accounts, and in exchange, she, you know, like waived the stay. And I didn't ask her to do that. She just did. And so I was like, well, you know, maybe this is something that people need. And as I went on, in the traveling world, there are a lot of hostels that, just like in any business, kind of have a monopoly on where, you know, where people stay. So we would go to smaller local ones and offer help. And, you know, most of the time I didn't ask for anything, and they would just offer it. So it kind of became something that that I just did, you know. I didn't take much of my time, and, you know, I met lots of people that way, which is fun.
Right. Oh, my gosh, it sounds so fun. Such a great time, huh? So then when you're talking about the interview and really kind of marrying social media and SEO, so what at that point did you already feel as though you had a level of expertise when it comes to social media, and where did you go to fill in the gaps of really learning SEO and even maybe expanding on your knowledge of social media?
Yeah, so I worked for a social media startup, and then I moved to this website called Stickham, and I did social media marketing, and I also ran ad ops for campaigns they would do on the site. So I learned a little bit about ads, and I got to see on the back end, they had about 9 million registered users, and of what it takes to run a social site and how engaged people really are, because you don't see that when you're running campaigns on a social platform. But when you really go to the back end, the emails and the way people are really concerned with what's going on with the site, and there's a very, you know, very serious community. And so I knew that, and I had, you know, worked in marrying campaigns for huge brands with this company. And again, the ads. So I had a very strong, I guess, knowledge on what people want in a social community, and also how to combine a social platform with a brand, and, you know, successfully execute a campaign, and how to integrate other social platforms so that you're not just stagnant in one area and you're actually broadening your reach. And I was lucky enough to work with, you know, social marketing people in all the different brands that would come to us. So I had teachers that were amazing.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. So when you're talking about kind of bringing together a social platform and a brand, I want to see, because when I think about, you know, our listeners who are tuning in right now and hearing what we're talking about, When you think about what is important on a social platform, because we're talking about, you know, newer entrepreneurs, newer coaches, startup businesses, can you provide a little bit of an expanded conversation on what is important, and maybe give an example of bringing together a strong social platform and marrying it with a brand?
Yes. So an example of a campaign that we did was It was for Levi's, and so the company I worked for was a live stream website with the market or the demographic primarily teenagers. Okay. And then Levi's did a benefit nonprofit concert, and Levi's goal was to get more likes on Facebook.
Okay.
Right. So our goal was to capitalize on the viewership because it was Levi's. And then, of course, the band's goal was to have a concert that had a large reach. And so what we did was we embedded the live stream player, and we live streamed the concert on to Levi's Facebook page. And then in order for the sound to turn on, you had to like the page.
Oh, okay.
And you could watch the concert. So you took what everybody wanted, and you found the least intrusive way of making sure that happened without upsetting your audience.
Right.
Because the concert is cool. They had no issue liking it. They just needed a reason to do it. So
right.
So that's kind of the thing, is like recognizing what everyone wants to get out of it, and figuring out how to do that without upsetting your audience, because at the end of the day, they're the most important.
Right, definitely. And so just from a technical standpoint, in layman's terms, when you talk about embedding the concert live stream on the Facebook page, how do you do that?
So the live stream player itself has an embed code, and then what we can do on the back end is decide where it can play. So, we just took that embed code and then used a widget and embedded it into a tab on the Facebook page.
It's amazing. You know, every day I learn something new about what you can do on Facebook or online. There's so many different ways. And at the end of the day, it's all about finding new ways to communicate with an audience, right? And what I love about what you just shared is really thinking about, in this case, this great example of Levi's. You know, it's about really thinking about all the different components and what everybody's goal was, even if it was slightly different. You were able to really bring it together and have that kind of win-win-win that is so beautiful when it happens, and have a really cool experience online, right? So it seems like it was really a powerful event, both online and in person.
Successful.
Yeah. And even for, you know, newer entrepreneurs and coaches who are listening right now, it's just about really thinking about, you know, we can all be inspired by even these corporate brands and seeing how they're able to come together and really kind of come up with a collaborative plan in order to convey a message. So I think sometimes when people see, you know, when entrepreneurs see the bigger brands doing certain things, they think, oh, well, they have this huge budget to do it, and it's not something that I could do because I'm a small startup or I'm a newer entrepreneur. And what I just want to empower everyone to do is to be inspired by the brands that you really like. You know, when they really align with the direction that you're heading, there might be, on some level, a way to do something as cool as what they're doing. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so I appreciate you sharing that example.
Just to add also, brands didn't start out big brands. They were someone's brainchild. In fact, I think Coca-Cola sold one case their first year. So when you think of a brand and the things they had to go through, and then now with social, the things they have to do in order to keep it in the, the democracy system of getting everything approved, it's almost even more difficult than some, you know, because the reach will be great when they're a big brand, negative and positive, which is
right.
Yeah, there's the difference, definitely.
Yeah, that's so funny because it makes me think of a commercial. I don't know if it was one of those Super Bowl commercials, but there was a commercial not too long ago where it had, I think it was a car commercial, but it really was talking about anything that started in a garage. And so they're talking about all these big brands, you know, that started as a business that was in a garage. And then it was about the car that was in the garage. And so it's kind of like great things happen when they get started in a garage. And so it makes me think of that because you're right. They all had to start somewhere, right? I mean, Levi's started somewhere, and Nike and Coca-Cola, they all started somewhere. So that's a really good point to bring to the table. So tell us a little bit about, if you will, about SEO, because this is something that a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners really don't know what to do when it comes to improving their SEO or even how it works. So can you speak a little bit to that topic?
So basically, to sum up, I guess, what SEO is, it's the search engines trying to bring the best search results for you, the most relevant and most authoritative perspective on whatever it is that you're searching for, and whether that involves GPS, reviews, content, or, you know, social. And a few ways to create that sort of authority would be, one, it's when you create great content related to whatever someone's searching to, and someone else links to it and writes about it, says, this is great about this. That's a positive signal for SEO. You know, and you get into the logistics of it and how websites function and so on and so forth, but the core of it all is, how do you prove that you're an authority on whatever it is that that person is searching for at that time? And lots of ways to do that. Social has recently played a huge role in that, because people and places and sentiment value from social, they are all, you know, that's all that information is out there and can be applied to the same system as content used to be. I will say, a lot of times I get small businesses will say things like, well, you know, I run an insurance brokerage, or, and I want to rank a number one, you know, some page one for, like, insurance. Well, insurance is actually the most expensive keyword on the internet currently. So that's why a lot of these big players can dominate it. And if you get creative and you think of ways that people search for insurance, or the types of insurance, or is there a niche market with a higher value that you can really focus on and, you know, work with Google or work with Google AdWords, and maybe run small PPC campaigns to sort of build that authority over time. And, you know, just my biggest advice to people is, you know, you want people to say about you all the things you shouldn't say about yourself. So if you want to be, you know, the smartest person in the world, you need other people to say that in order for it to be validated. It's the same concept on it, online.
Got it. So if you were to share with our newer entrepreneurs out there what steps they could take, like what would be, or the top tips that you can give them in terms of improving their SEO, what would you say they should do?
One is don't do anything tricky. Don't try to, you know, add tags and keywords for 7 locations if you're only in one. Be honest about it, because it will only hurt you in the end if you're not. Two, have a mobile-friendly website. It's very important that your website is mobile-friendly. It's a big ranking factor in the next coming months, and in my opinion, has been for the past year and a half. And you know, I guess the third thing is, know where your business is online and make sure the information is correct. The first rule of SEO is that if 2 pages are identical and they are 2 different places, Google will not decide which one is better. They just won't choose either.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So make sure your address and your phone number are correct across all pages. Same thing in social. If it's incorrect, they'll create local pages for you based on information from search engines. So you could have multiple Facebook pages or Google Plus pages or Yelp pages and not know it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's important.
Wow. Definitely. Well, very cool. So this is all really great information, and I know it's very inspiring for everyone who's listening. So I just wanted to kind of bring it to present day to find out more about you. And so what are you focusing on now in your life and in business?
Recently I started speaking at mostly tech marketing conferences, digital marketing conferences, writing for publications. I also, run the editorial for a nonprofit, socialmediaclub.org, and they have 300 chapters worldwide of people who are trying to get involved in social media, and they're trying to, get a grasp on what it is. And this community, the global, and then of course each individual chapter, they offer, you know, WordPress classes, or they'll have gatherings so people moving to new cities can meet, you know, potential employers, and they kind of keep the energy going. It's pretty fantastic. So I do that in hopes to help people get more involved, especially internationally. It's very difficult, or it can be. And then at my current job, you know, I try to keep my clients as happy as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. And what kinds of clients do you primarily work with at Rank Lab?
We work with a lot of clients in the behavioral healthcare space. Rank Lab was an SEO agency before I came on, and now it is an SEO agency. So we will do social for SEO. Then we've also do consulting for anything from startup e-commerce sites, art dealers, apps, clothing lines. The client list gets a little tricky once you get into social alone versus SEO and social. Variety of types of people. I have a great staff here. They're all different backgrounds, and that helps to kind of help different types of people.
Definitely. And say again the name of Social Media Club. Was that the name of it?
Yes, socialmediaclub.org.
So if people want to check that out, they can see that as a resource. It's really cool that that has been created and that you're a part of it for a great resource. So very cool.
Yes.
As I've mentioned, a lot of our listeners are newer coaches and entrepreneurs that would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 or more each month on a consistent level. Now, I know that currently you work with Rank Lab, but you've got a lot of really great experience with social media and SEO and all that good stuff. And so I'm asking each of our experts on Miracle Business Breakthrough to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that goal of 10K or more each month consistently. So what top three tips can you share with our listeners today?
I recently became a partner here at Rank Lab. And
oh, very cool.
When I started, I was the fifth employee hired. And we're at 20 in-house now. We have an off-site editorial team, a couple off-site designers, two remote marketing people, and we've grown very quickly. And the one thing I'll say is we don't take on huge clients, and we don't take on small clients. We take on medium-sized businesses with a growth plan so that as they grow and we help them build their growth plan, our company grows with them. So now you have trust. You have growth, and you built something together, so the relationship couldn't be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you can't say yes to everyone, and it's okay to say no. It's okay to say that I cannot do this right now, or you don't have the bandwidth on your end to fulfill your part, and so we can't help you. It's okay to do that because people will appreciate it and respect you more in the end that you didn't take on something you couldn't do and drop the ball. They'd much rather hear, I can't do it right now. I'll let you know when I can. And if it's a fit and they're still there, great.
Right.
It's very difficult to build and fix your reputation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone who's listening right now needs to write that down. You don't have to say yes to everyone, and it's okay to say no. And, I wish I'd heard that early on when I was launching my business, because I was definitely one of those yes people who said yes to everything. And I seriously got burned out. I mean, and I thought at that time, I always say that I'm a recovering people pleaser, one of those people. And because I thought, well, how do I say no when they need my help? And I know I have the ability to help them. But the problem was I didn't have the time to help them. Mm-hmm. And I was just really, really giving more than I had to give. So I couldn't agree more. And I'm so glad that you brought up that tip. And people will respect it. It's just the way in which you convey that. You don't have to feel like you're being mean or rude or disrespectful. It's quite the opposite, And usually now at this point in my career with my business, if somebody requests my help with something or my participation in something, I'm just very honest with them. And I say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm humbled by your request, or I would absolutely love to help you. And at the same time, right now I'm in the midst of whatever it is that I'm doing. Right now I'm in the midst of this huge project, and so I just wouldn't have the bandwidth to really provide that for you. And the response is always so kind. They're like, oh my gosh, Amy, I understand, you know, or thank you so much for getting back to me. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's okay. It really is. So thank you for that tip. Not to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I think the last tip is to not compromise. Don't compromise yourself or how you feel or, you know, what you're willing to do for business. Business will always be there if you, you know, if you back yourself up. Because if you can't back yourself up, then you can't back anyone else up either. And that's very, you know, it'll come off that way. We had a client who it was $25,000 a month, and we were just at the beginning of growing. And we took them as a referral, and a lot of things internally they were a large company and some internal issues, so we couldn't get things done. And because we couldn't get things done, you know, we were wasting their money and our time, and it was, you know, it wasn't good for anyone. And actually, my boss pulled me aside and he said, are we compromising who we are for this? And is it going to backfire? And I said, yes. And we have to actually let them go along with that security. But had we taken it any longer, we already saw the road it was going down, because they, you know, it's two parts in an agency relationship. You know, you do your part, but a lot of times if they won't give you keys to the car and they have to do their part, nothing will get done. And it will never be their fault. It'll be yours. And, again, that's back to that whole reputation, you know, save your reputation before you have to. It's
right.
Very important.
It is so good. Yeah. Absolutely. Don't compromise yourself. These are really, really great tips. So thank you for sharing those wonderful tips for our listeners. So, Cynthia, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
I run the editorial and socialmediaclub.org. They're having a new website launched. They were getting so much traffic that their server crashed, and their website should be launched in the next 2 to 4 weeks. And so we'll be adding writers. So if anybody, you know, feels like they have something to contribute, you know, in the topic of social media or marketing or, you know, global reach, leadership, and so on, please email me, cynthia@socialmediaclub.org. I'd love to speak with you.
Very cool. And we'll make sure that that email address is on your speakers page so that everyone can find it very easily. It sounds like a really cool opportunity to connect with others and really share great information. So that is fantastic. So, Cynthia, thank you again for being a special guest speaker for Miracle Business Breakthrough. We do hope to chat with you again in the near future. Everything that you've shared has been so, so really, you know, beneficial and helpful and really great tips. So I really appreciate you.
No, I really appreciate you inviting me here. It's great. I love that you're doing this. It's great help. I hope people really find it useful. I know that you have lots of people coming on with really great stories. So I can't wait.
Yeah, very cool. And to those of you who are listening to our series, I'd like to thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.